Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Yes. And mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University Pastors Roundtable for the month of February, Black History Month. And I'm enjoying the conversation this morning from Reverend Edward Hill Jr. of Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church, which, if you could tell the audience how you all are meeting now during this age of COVID.
We're meeting now on Facebook Live or Facebook. You can go to my page, Edward Hill Jr. You'll see me with a black jogging suit on, a white t-shirt. You click on at 10:30, you can see me every Sunday live at 10:30. Or you can go back, just click on my page, you can see any sermon you want to, or go to Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church page, and you can see any old sermons. And
You said 10:30?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And Reverend Ron Parham of Edmondson Chapel Church, which is located where and what time is your service?
We currently, right now, it's located at 5222 Hickory Hollow Parkway there in Antioch, Tennessee. And currently, right now, we are streaming. We are virtual. I'm assuming like everyone else is right now. But you can go to... We're on Vimeo Live. We're on Facebook Live. We can go to our Instagram and Facebook at ECC Strong is what it is. Or you could tweet us, whatever. We're out there. Just search for Edmondson Chapel Church, Antioch, Tennessee. You'll find a stream. We start at 10:15. I'm actually, as soon as I leave here, I'm rushing to the church, and I will be live preaching or teaching, but everything we do will be virtual from there on in. So until we're looking sometime mid-March in order to get back into the swing of things.
And teaching, I know, as I heard from my former pastor who was a theologian, and I adored his style because he was like a teacher, old school teacher in a young man's body. And but he made me curious about the relationship with the Father, that I was wanting to absorb it into things. It wasn't about Sharon Kay getting a big house and car and a man and a fur and all. I didn't get nothing about that. I was interested in, I really didn't, because I needed happiness in my life. I needed to feel certain things that I, even in marriages and divorces, amen, that I was not feeling loved or happy. And I wasn't feeling that. I just didn't feel it, and, you know, grown as I was, it's like you can look for it, but if you don't understand that the ultimate relationship is with the Father, I know I'm loved forever. If I don't ever marry nobody again or have a man or whatever the case may be, I know the Heavenly Father loves some Sharon Kay. But I had to learn that, though. You see what I'm saying, Reverend Parham?
I had to learn it through
understanding, and this is what I think y'all are kind of saying in your own ways, through understanding how important that vertical relationship is with the Father. Storms come, when tsunamis come, you don't put your house high enough that your stuff won't get sucked into the ocean. But I mean, you plan for or try to live your life or know God is with you regardless of, you know, the weather, the storm.
I'm going to tell you something. I've been married to Lady Parham for, it'll be 34 years, April the 2nd of this year, okay? We were babies when we got married. Knew nothing about it, but I do know this. I do know this, and this is my take on this. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Mm. So that means, if I understand what that says, is that means that the woman doesn't need to be out in the open in front. She needs to be hiding in him. in Christ. Mm-hmm. She needs to be hiding in Him. And you, sir, if you're listening to this, you, sir, while you're finding, you have to solidify your relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world are you going to take care of a woman who's hiding in Him? If it's a Christian relationship, if she's hiding in Him and you have no relationship, mm-hmm. that's why the things are happening. So I would say this, if I had to speak about this, I'm not doing counseling 101, but if I had to speak about it, woman, you hide yourself, and man, you get to know Christ in your own way and know Him. And how can the two come together except they be agreed? Agreed on what? That's the thing. What's the agreement? Not on where the kids are going to go to school, not where the kids are going to, not where you're going to live, not what kind of car you're going to drive. That's not what the agreement is. The agreement on what? The agreement on in Christ. If you're not agreed in Christ, then it's not going to happen. That's my take. And that's what I give. When I give counseling, that's one of the first things I say. Go hide. I mean, if you're not hiding, how'd y'all meet? I ask them, how do you meet? Well, I met him, and listen to me, there's nothing wrong with going, you know, what you're doing, you're saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not preaching against that, because I think you should have some fun and get out and enjoy that. But I'm saying, if you're serious about marriage, then make sure he loves Christ.
Yeah.
And he knows, and you just said it, Sharon. You said it. Make sure he loves you, and not listen to me, and knows how to love. I love you, but I don't know how to love Sharon Kay like Sharon Kay needs to be loved.
Amen. That's the problem with a lot of men. They don't understand, certain things because they haven't. And for reasons of trauma or prior relationships or whatever the case, and then when they come broken to church. Or broken to the community of faith, and still haven't. Well, why are we talking about my relationship today? I wonder why that is. Because our main relationship is with the Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about.
Amen. That's what I'm preaching about today. That's what I'm preaching about today. By the way, because that's what I'm doing research with you guys. I'm doing field research because I'm preaching. I done gave you two of my points already. Hey, Ed, here come the clothes right there. Here come the clothes right there. Here come the clothes, all right. but he has to be in Christ. I was counseling the guy, and he's been married four times. Listen to me. He's been married four times. And I said, wait a minute. And he said, Reverend, he said to me, this is the honest truth. He said, Reverend, they just don't know how to treat. They don't know how to treat me. I said, look, bro, wait a minute, hold on. I said, think about it. Let's just take the church out of it for just one second, and let me show you something. You've been married to four different women, and the only constant in all four of them relationships is you.
Yeah.
You haven't changed. You've changed four different women, and I guarantee you, all four of them are not the same. Different personality, different background. So, bro, I said to him, bro, if we reduce it to its lowest common denominator, it's not them.
Yeah.
It's you.
Yeah.
You need to hide yourself in Christ and say something. You know.
Yeah.
And he told me that, and I didn't do his wedding. He told me he didn't want me to do his wedding. I said, that's fine with me. That's no problem.
Well, but once he understands that, and some people are never going to understand it, because they have levels of low self-esteem or self-worth or value. They're never going to understand that. But when you're good with you, mm-hmm. you understand that very well, exactly what you're talking about. Because that would be the same type of scenario, Reverend Parham, that you would give in any situation. If you're at the scene of every crime, let me see how you're connected. I mean, that to me is so obvious. That person is deeply entrenched in denial. And that's a place where once you peel yourself out of it, I had to lay prostrate on my floor for hours and not move and cry out to God. To God, I want to be happy. I don't want to live a life and, worried about people talking about me and what I don't have and I'm not worthy and I'm not good enough. And I don't want that. And because this is a cruel business, by the way. But my point is that I had to shed that, in order to just say, I'm feeling blessed and highly paid, and I'm studying, and I'm going to do what thus said the Lord, and I'm going to do it. And, and look what the Lord has done. So I'm eternally grateful to him for at least pouring something in me that, you know, made me want to study and make myself understand to the degree that I cannot just talk about it. I can walk it. Yeah. So I'm just, you know, that's all. To me, that's where the pandemic showed that folks aren't talking it and mad at everybody, but they're not walking it. And that's, therefore, why would you be hysterical because you can't touch a building? Why? I saw Christians go proclaimed during the pandemic, and we talked about it on this radio all the time. They would be mad and angry and fighting and feuding and cussing and fuzzing because they couldn't touch the building. And I just was like, this don't make no sense. You know, something is really missing. So, you know, as you all are trying to address this kind of stuff, when you are approached, Reverend Hill, by one of your colleagues that is in the ministry, what can you say to help him, or how can you help that brother or that sister that's in a struggle like that?
One of my things I usually refer to some scriptures and try to address them in such a way, allow them to see where they can see themselves or see what's actually really going on in their lives. Use the scriptures, use what they preach about. They look at stuff, you got to look at stuff a little deeper than what it is. You got to give advice, not only to the people in ministry, but the people at the church. One of the things they're chaotic about, like you were saying about the COVID, pre-COVID, or tie themselves just to a building, never want to get a relationship with God, they actually got to use the scripture. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee."
Yep.
And you run into some people, and they use the word, I don't understand what it means, thou and they, and this and that. Move thou and they, I'll just say, God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on God. You see what I'm saying? You got to turn it in a way where they can see it themselves. And then the next verse says, Jehovah will give you strength.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know who Jehovah is, but take out Jehovah, put Prince of Peace. He will give you strength. Jesus will give you strength. I mean, I got to give it to you the best way I know how to give it to you in order for you to understand.
Or just insert Lord of Lords or see them. There's so many names that the Father is known by. I mean, it's like, you know, really. Yeah.
What name fit for you? It'll work. It means the same thing.
Amen.
Reverend Parham, I know you got something to say.
Rep said it all. There's a book. And I'm going to, can I say book? Can I say books on you? I can tell you a book, right? There's a book called Overcoming the Dark Side of Leadership by a couple of people, by a guy named McIntosh and Rima. And one of the things in their book, they said, you know, he talks about this culture. It's interesting, and I didn't read this book, but it's a culture that we are obsessed, preachers, and not just preachers, but leaders. We're obsessed with having and succeeding. We want to succeed. We do. And what the dark side is, and what McIntosh and Rima says, that these compulsions or these dysfunctions that we have is never revealed until we suffer from emotional stress. And so what's happening now, and we're still here on relationship, and even talking about COVID, all COVID, the tsunami effect, and I'm still going to use that. It's a tsunami effect. I never know what I'm made of until I experience emotional stress. There's a story about a teabag, you know, this teabag. This guy says he has a dream about a teabag, and he says to the teabag, he held the teabag up in his dream and said, "The teabag, you a hooker thing. Ain't nothing about you. There's nothing about you." The teabag said back to the man in his dream, he said, "I may be ugly, but put me in some hot water, and you'll see what I'm made of. You'll see what's getting ready to come out." And what has to tell you is what we are, what's on the inside of us, what we've been told, what we've been trained it's all being revealed because COVID can be used as an analogy as the hot water.
Yes, it
can. And we are, and it's a paradox.
Yes.
Here's the paradox. Because the paradox is we want to be successful.
Yes.
We do. And, and who got, who, Ed, tell me, and Ed, who on, and Chef, who on this phone doesn't want to be successful? But it's destroyed, but what COVID has done is destroyed our effectiveness because who we are really are has been revealed.
Amen.
Some of us don't like it.
So, is there going to be any Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and 23 about walking on, coming off the boat and walking on the water? I'm just asking the question because, you know, that's where everybody is. We try to water walk and can't. And drowning every time. So, you know, I'm just asking and inserting.
That's food for thought, though. I mean, that's wow. How we remember, see, look at the nature of faith. Because, you know, Ed said it earlier, Pastor Hill said it earlier. He did, and we've been preaching this all this time. And now, who we read, here's the nature of, you remember the commercial that, I'm telling my age when I say this, Ella Fitzgerald, she was in a song, is it live or is it memory?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
You remember that commercial?
Yes,
and,
I do.
And she plays, she scats in the background, the music comes up, but then the caption comes up and says, is that, it was so, it sounds so good that with the naked ear, you couldn't tell if it was a tape version of it or if it was Ella, but at the ultimate, but the commercial revealed that it was a tape version. Then what they were saying is, our product is so good, you can't tell if it's real or not.
Here it is.
Well, we can't tell whether it's, my shout doesn't prove that I'm a Christian.
God,
my talking in tongues doesn't prove I'm a Christian. So the Christian walk is a verb, not a noun.
Okay.
It's an action.
Yes, it is.
Not a noun.
That's my point three.
Put me in E flat. Here come my clothes. That was my point three. Here come my clothes. So what's going to happen is now, the dark side of our leadership, what we've been holding, is starting to be revealed.
That's
all I got to say.
I would say it's be the gutter, like prosperity ministry, preaching, prosperity ministry. That's what started it, the slippery slope. And this is what you see. Okay, now I'm sharing Kate, time to go to break. I talked about prosperity preaching. I done hurt some toes now, I know. My bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's take
it. Right.
Okay, I'm just saying. If you have a question or comment, want to be in our discussion today, you are more than welcome to call 615-329-8810. I really do wish that after we come out of COVID, that I wish they were in here, X. You know, when I have the pastors in their studio, don't we have church? Okay, we have total church in here. And I have to get my church fan out and go give me some cold water out of the refrigerator in there and say, Lord, y'all are killing me in here. But that's how we're supposed to go on a Sunday morning on the 4-1 show, Pastor Roundtable. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
The 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend, no Blues Time in the City, Big Cynthia Walker.
Nothing like a big woman.
I heard that. The late, great Big Cynthia Walker's talking this weekend. The soul queen of New Orleans, Irma Thomas, will perform one of her past performances live, and as usual, will play the best in Southern Soul and Old School Blues. Join me, Rogene Bailey, for Blues Time in the City this weekend, right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from the United Way of Greater Nashville. Don't pay to have your taxes filed. United Way's Vita-Free Tax Prep Program can help. Visit UnitedWayFileFree.com or call 211 to have your taxes filed in person or virtually by IRS-certified preparers. That's UnitedWayFileFree.com or 211. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
You know, X, you don't have to do the 100-yard dash, right?
Sometimes I can tell.
I was like, oh my God, I don't have 10, but 10 seconds. I had to go down there and get my water bottle. when I hear that, that's my cue to
come on back.
Be ready at all times. But that's the nature of the business. Anyway, let me reintroduce the guests on the Pastor's Roundtable this morning, month of February, Black History Month. And y'all are hearing simultaneous sermons from Reverend Edward Hill Jr. of Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church and Reverend Ron Farham of Edmondson Chapel Church. I just venture to guess what y'all's, when I ask you to do the tag team prayer at the end, what are we going to get from you then? I'm like, this is a lot. Y'all are really, really good. And do you know each other?
Oh, yeah. I know the Hill family. Watson Grove, out of Watson Grove Missionary Baptist Church, up with the late Goodman. And Ed, actually, did you all sing in our choir?
My brother and sister did. I did.
Yeah, you were a baby.
Okay, so you know each other. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And Reverend Edward, you knew Ron from prior church time?
Yes, and the neighborhood community.
Oh, the neighborhood. Oh, okay. Y'all really know. Never mind. Okay. They know each other. Yeah. Nothing like neighborhood stuff, you know, that you how you learn how folks are, for sure. Anyway, I am happy to have them with us today. And Reverend Parham, tell the audience what time your service is and how they will be able to enjoy it.
We're streaming at this present time at 10:15 a.m. Central Standard Time. You can stream us through Vimeo. You actually just go to Facebook at ECC Strong, at ECC Strong. That's either there or Instagram or Twitter, and you'll see the link out there already. You can either do it Facebook Live, or you can click on the Vimeo link and you can see it. Plus, as Ed said, I like the way Ed said that, you can see previous sermons if you want to see that. And not just me, it's the associate ministers and all of those, some of those too, so you can see those.
Okay, in case they're good and thirsty, Reverend Hill Jr.
Yes, sir.
That's how you have to do it. Sometimes people have to play stuff four or five times before they get it, you know. Reverend Hill, tell folks what time and how you all are gathering.
We're gathering virtually live on Facebook Live, or you just go to my Facebook page, Eddie Hill Jr., you'll see me on my face, and I'm coming on at 10:30 around that every Sunday morning. And if you need more sermons, you can go back and look on Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church page for further assistance or other service that can help you out in your daily life.
And then you're going to get your podcast, Reb. I'm just saying, you know. Y'all ain't had enough yet? Here's some more of them. Because, you know, I'm just telling you, you got to do what you got to do. Catch people, catch as catch can. And I would say, as part of the challenges that the community of faith has had, it's like I saw it from my altitude as a lot of grumbling and complaining about a lot of stuff that if we know, you know, if we trust the Lord and know Him, then why are we mad at everybody? Why is there so much anger? You know, because you, I mean, it was just taking me to another place. And a certain community of faith style of people were the ones who were fanning it. And, you know, badges of courage. And don't you come in here protecting yourself and, you know, you don't believe in God enough. And, I mean, it was just kind of torturing people. And, but I really don't think, Reverend Hill, that was the right way to go for people, because it sent out a wave of confusion. And yes. Do you understand what I'm saying when I mean that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. A lot of people ain't doing studies to show themselves approved.
Right.
So, in other words, they'll start taking on, this is a sign of the beast, the mark of the beast, this going on. And my take on that is different, because you got to actually out there. I'm not saying the mark of the beast is not here. I'm not saying but God allowed it. Let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. And He allowed it for a reason. Mm-hmm. But there are some things that you five senses at. Mm-hmm. And some things that you got, you know, fundamental things. What's fundamental? Fundamental things that you know you're supposed to wash your hand when you leave the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know you're supposed to wash your hand before you touch somebody else. And when you get through, sanitize yourself. Because all this stuff plays a part of wearing the mask, because it's in the air. You can't see it.
Right.
You got to wear the mask. You prevent other people. Be respectful of other people.
Right.
You may not want, you may not care about it, but other folks do.
Right.
And so as the church is being a community, and we are gathering in one place, you're bound to have something. You're bound to catch something. Somebody got a cold, or somebody got this. So we got to be respectful of other people.
And that is absolutely true, because, you know, to me, it's there were people in the conversations and discussions with community of faith or with other Christians, you know, people were thinking God had forsaken us, and, you know, it's the Democrats' fault, and, you know, I mean, it was just all kind of wackadoodle stuff. And I'm like, you know what, if you all's boat is rocked by this, and you know it's a health emergency, you know this and that, what are you going to do when real stuff comes? And I do mean real. More real than, you know, because I lost 3 relatives during the pandemic. Heck, grandkids and friends would have had COVID. And so, you know, don't talk to me, you know, about, you know, stuff like foolishness, like, well, the world's getting ready to come to an end, because I was hearing that too. And I'm like, but, you know, isn't life supposed to be about the challenges and the things that we go through and know God is with us? If, as long as I end up with Him in the end, I'm when my number is up, Sharon K got to go, yo. My expiration date comes, I'm out. And I just, you know, want to live the best possible life I can. And, you know, I just think that the church doing fanning and flames of scaring people instead of trying to teach them about having a relationship where they can come out of the boat and walk on the water and not sink.
Can I throw something in there before they go? Well, one of the things that I've noticed since COVID-19, you know, really took root here in the United States is the disarray amongst the body of Christ across the board in the very beginning, and then the separation that happened when you saw one of the pastors here in Tennessee that say, don't come in here wearing no mask, praying, and that kind of stuff.
Down in but Wilson
all,
County.
Yeah, all that division. But one of the things that is also done is scatter the sheep. And the Bible says that Jesus says, my sheep hear my, know my voice. So those who have been called by God, like you all were saying, who are preaching the word, teaching the word, his sheep hears his voice. And so those who are scattered, at some point they're going to, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how what comes out of this. And so I'm just curious to know how you all view the task at hand in this new age between social media and then people coming back into the ministry physically, of how we attempt to get them to hear his voice for real this time. Not everybody's going to hear it, but for some of those who have fallen away, some of those who have gone astray, some of those who have been scattered, you know, now what?
Reverend Parham.
Yeah, interesting. Reverend Brooks, George Brooks of St. James told me when I first started preaching some 20-some years ago, he said, Reverend, he said, the church will always stand, period. There's nothing that in heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God shall always stand. Sharon, let me say this. Sharon, you said in about people being weary and anxious, you said it too in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Jeremiah is mad. He's grieving. He's throwing out a grief. He asked. He says two questions. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how then can thou contend with the horses? First question. And then he adds, if the land of peace where then thou trottest or trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swell of the Jordan? The Jordan is swelling. And so what happens when the water starts to swell, the animals go to look for food in higher places. They're going other places to look for the food. And X, what has happened, the Jordan has swollen in the church as well. And I'm talking about the physical church. And what people are doing and what X just said is true. What they're doing, they're looking for nourishment spiritually in other places.
Well, and knowing that's the case, Reverend Parham, people who have been sitting in certain churches, as you mentioned earlier in this broadcast, for wrong reasons, both of you all have talked about them in relationships and et cetera, they were getting fed. It wasn't nourished. They weren't getting strengthened. They were just getting something thrown at them to make them feel good. So was it a lot of feel good stuff that was going on that is why people are ill prepared or feel these ways? Because let me just tell you all that suicide statistics among black people are at an all-time high. And we never used to talk about black people killing themselves. It was always white people doing it. But our community is taking itself out, and all ages, because they can't, it's too heavy. People are dealing with a sense of heaviness that, you know, we have mainstream America telling us, we can't talk about being black. We can't have an experience of being black. We can't be black. And don't you dare say the word diversity or any of the other things. And Lord knows if you say Black Lives Matter, you committed a crime in the United States, according to the mainstream. And we got all this pressure and things of that nature. Do you, Reverend Hill, think that there's a special way that you all are going to have to preach or to teach or to comfort our people at times like this when we have so much garbage coming directly at us?
A lot of this, what we are doing, I think the preacher pastor had to go a little bit in depth in making what we see the word of God make it become a reality. In other words, we got to be just like Pastor Parham was doing earlier, or what you said, your illustration about the tsunami. You got to preach in such a way where they got to actually see themselves in the situation. Because the pandemic is nothing new. This is nothing new to the earth. They always had pandemics throughout so many years, but something happened, something else going on. So you got to teach and educate in such a way about our history, as humans, our history and our culture, and how it relates to the Word of God. We actually got to do more in-depth study and teach and show them in such a way where they can see themselves when they're going through, and they got to remember that they made it that far. Human beings made it that far. Pastor Barham said something, talked about Jeremiah, what he did. In Lamentations 3:20, he said, "This I recall in my mind that I have hope." And in other words, Jeremiah remembers when he went through in the past that God brought him through. We got to remind folks that God brought us through.
Amen.
He ain't going to bring us through now.
Amen. Amen. So is it time for a lament to take place in this country or in this world? I mean, is it time for some?
Can I elaborate on this? You know, I don't think that all people, and Pastor Hill just touched on it. I don't think a lot of the people, I'm going to refer to them as sheep. I don't believe that all of them actually knew how it was supposed to be. Even though they may have been here, some of them may have been hearing the word, not everybody understood, because if you're under leadership, you trust that leadership. So until they were scattered because of COVID, and then they had to face some issues, then it became clear as to their relationships with God. And just as people who are Christians by name and by baptism and things of that nature, you also have to throw into the mix people who were worshiping other religions, Buddha, Islam, and things of that nature. Yeah. And then those gods per se was not happening for them. So this is an opportunity for a great reawakening for the body of Christ to not only re-educate people who have been scattered because of what God has allowed, but also those who knew not Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and now is an opportunity to have a reawakening of the spirit of the move of God to bring God's people back into the fold.
When Reverend,
Amen.
You want to comment, because then I got something to add to that before we go to break, as usual. Reverend Parham, what's your comment?
It's everything everybody just said. What we need to do, do not. The gospel has not changed. Don't compromise the gospel. Preach the word. We're not going to be able to get them back in through preaching popular opinion.
That's right.
What the president said, what's going on, we have to preach. Paul said, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. This great exodus of people, somewhere along the line, the word has been impregnated into their spirit. And here's the thing, as long as we keep preaching the word, the unadulterated word of God, not more programs, not more ministry stuff, not no more praise team, and that's another, we can do another 401 on that thing right there, but how did the church grow in the New Testament? Peter, the Bible said, Peter preached the word
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
God. And folk got saved.
Amen.
And there was no praise team. They did a hymn, I'm sure, but there was no repass at the end of the service. There was not coffee and donuts at the beginning of the service. They preached the word of God. And the word did what it was supposed to do. It didn't return unto them for it.
Well, and it's kind of hard for people to have a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if Christians are out here sowing seeds of discord. Now, when we come back from the break, I must address that, because there's way too much on, and I'm not, every Christian that's listening to this broadcast is not black. I have white listeners, and they know me well. And so when we, as the seeds of discord are sown, so shall we reap? I'm asking the question, because folks is certainly fertilizing with a lot of discord. And let's talk about sowing seeds of discord when we get back from the break. Because if we got to lament, y'all got some work to do out there in this country. You got some work to do. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
On the next Jazz Night in America, the artistry of Jazz Me a Horn.
When I'm scatting, I don't think about a horn player. I just become the horn player.
How the acclaimed young vocalist takes scatting as a bridge to her ancestors and heeds a social call. On the next Jazz Night in America, I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from the Frist Art Museum, presenting On the Horizon, contemporary Cuban art from the Perez Art Museum, Miami, an exhibition that explores the diverse culture and political landscapes of Cuba and its diaspora through the paintings, photographs, sculptures, and videos of 50 artists of different generations. Drawn from one of the largest public collections of Cuban art in the U.S., On the Horizon is on view through May 1st. The Frist is open Thursdays through Sundays, and you can find out more about all the exhibitions and programs at fristartmuseum.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88. WFSK, Historic Fisk University, and tomorrow night's Black History February programming is on at 7, and tomorrow night is the 21st, is Action Speaks, and that's the special for Monday. Huh? Why are you laughing? Because you know?
That's the cue. We've been talking about Action Speaks all
right,
morning, huh?
It does. Truly. That's walking it and not talking.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Thursday, the 24th at 7, is the music of Chaka Khan.
Ooh, that's good.
So, we're diverse. We're black. This is an HBCU. You're going to hear black things here. Attention, everybody.
Not always watered down.
No. I mean, what for? I'm not the sower of water or bad seed. You know, sometimes facts have to be facts. And Reverend Ron Parham of Edmondson Chapel Church is with me this morning, as well as Reverend Edward Hill Jr. of Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church. Now, in case y'all do not get to see their services or attend the church, you by 9 o'clock, you will have been fully churched, because they have really been, y'all have just been outstanding, and I deeply appreciate your honesty and the value of the things that you are saying today, because it just has to be said. Now, I spoke about sowing seeds of discord, and if I'm not remembering correctly, just go on and correct me, but it seems like I remember from my studying of Old Testament, etc., this in the time that I spent in it, that there were some things that God hated, and wasn't sowing seeds of discord one of those things? And if that's the case, then what is the church doing sowing all this seed and having people confused and angry? If God is love, why is there not any discussion about that? instead of anti-black and anti-Black Lives Matter and anti-everything. I'm like, how am I? I mean, so it's kind of hard for someone to want to have a relationship with the father when they see that going on. They say, if that's what it's like to be with God, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. And you all know I'm telling the truth. So knowing if that's the case, Reverend Hill, what about all this discord and sowing of all these seeds of discord? And what does Scripture tell us about it?
Scripture teaches us, you reap what you sow. When you sow in despair, you're going to reap that. You sow happiness or joy, you're going to reap happiness or joy. What you sow. But you, again, I have to emphasize on, we have to be illustrative enough that we got to bring the Word of God from 2,000 years ago to the forefront of right now. They got to actually see it. That's the only way this generation is different from us. I'm 50 years old, and we talk about stuff at home that we used to do. They don't make beans like the way we used to make beans. You understand? They used to pick beans in the field, take it and clean it and wash it, and put it in a pot, let the meat boil 15 minutes, and they get it to be done. Nowadays, they're not doing it. They're not taking preparation to do that. Now they're going to the store to get the cheapest can they can buy, open their can and put it in the microwave, and then they serve it to their family like that. So we got this ready made, or instantaneously, they want it right then and there. And we got some things you got to have preparation for, and your preparation of the Word of God to translate, you got to put it in such a way. You got to take some time and translate that with this within, to now the way they can get it.
Amen. Reverend Parham, what you got to say?
You got to go to Proverbs when you're dealing with discourse.
I was waiting for it to come. I knew it was coming. I knew it was.
A couple of scriptures in Proverbs. Proverbs 6 and 19 said that God hates haughtiness, lying, murdering, plotting, eagerness to do wrong, false witnesses, and here it is, sowing discord.
Right.
Proverbs 6, it says, I love this. Listen, it says, he winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. There's a book, and I'll tell you, if there's never a book you want to read, Disunity in Christ is by a young lady named Christina Cleveland. And in her book, and I quote, this is not me, I promise you, I wish I came up with this, but she says, listen to what she says. She says, we need to adopt the belief that to be a follower of Christ means to care deeply about the pursuit of other followers of Christ, including the ones that we don't instinctively value or like.
Amen.
We need to adopt the belief, that's what she's saying, that to be a follower of Christ means to allow our identity as members of the body of Christ to trump all other identities. So what she's saying, and you're right, we got a job ahead of us, because all the seeds that we've sown, and I say we, because I'm included, all the seeds that we've sown because of erroneous teachings, wrong, all of this, is going to, and when since the scab has been pulled back, since the tsunami has been pulled, has brought all the debris up to surface.
Oh, it has now.
We're gonna have to deal with that
as
a body.
Yes.
Don't change the word. Don't compromise the word. But we're gonna have to deal with it. And everybody that looks, just because folks don't look like us and act like us, don't mean that they're not a part of
Amen.
Us.
Amen. So that's oh, what Lord, I, that's what needs to go out to the side of the people that. Because before we had y'all on, I was telling X, I was thinking about this, you know, about hearing the Catholic Church channel bleeds over into our signal in certain parts of Davidson County. And I've been hearing this constant barrage from their talk hosts about anti-Black Lives Matter, it's everything black. You can't even say you're black anymore. I mean, to me, it's like they've gone off the chart with it, like the right-wing people have. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, this is a religious channel. What are you doing spewing all this discord and making, I mean, is there a song, Where Is the Love? Where is the love? And because there are black Catholics, I'm like, why are you indoctrinating that stuff to them and teaching them, not to have a sense of pride in who they are? You know, they were. I was like, and I be hearing these off and on, these little comments from these hosts that they have on. Yeah. And, you know, it's like very disturbing when the religious broadcasters are the seed sowers of discord. They are the ones who are the fertilizing machine for it. And if a person doesn't want to have a relationship with Christ or understand who he is, you need to look at the people who are sowing all the seed of discord and say, why are you all hurting this mission that we're on?
And you know what I had said? This was before you all came on at 7:30. I said there are parts, and this happens across the body of Christ, but we've never seen it in our generation like this, where part of the religious right and the people who are responsible for what we saw allow happened in the presidency and across the board in the past 4 years have traded in Jesus for the gold. I equated it to sort of like Judas. Ooh. You know, they've traded in Jesus for power. And so that's what's taking place. And I always say, well, what are you going to do? They want power so bad. They've tasted it before. They sold their souls per se to allow Donald Trump to get away with and do all the things that he did for the sake of a couple of policies, and they stood by that and have allowed it to just sort of that spirit that he brought to the nation. And when we look back in the Old Testament, that spirit of a corrupt leader that has saturated and seeped down into some of the people is what we see taking place, and the roots of that and the tentacles of that have now spread throughout the nation. And so, for those of you who have to preach now, and not only preach to save souls, now we have to figure out how God can use us to beat back some of this evil.
Let me just interject my point of history. Because historically, the people use crosses to burn in folks' yard in this country's history. And people do not want us to discuss that.
No.
They prefer that we leave that out and we want it erased out of all these school books and these children's heads because it makes them uncomfortable. And the fact that the church has been right there the whole time through all of this and throughout time, because I grew up in the AME church 5 generations, and we couldn't even sit with the people. And that's up in the church. So, I mean, you know, this is like a plague. It's a plague because it won't let up. I mean, this hate thing, this discord. So, you know, God, give us strength, because this is a tough one out here. And you all know it is. And for us, you know, a lot of the people that carry their banner high, River Parham, and, you know, we march to what the Lord said do and turn your cheeks, and I'll tell you, don't have no skin left on your mouth and your face because you've been smacked so many times. I'm just saying, it just gets to be a point where you like, you know, God, you're seeing this. And that's what I have to ask myself all the time. Father, you got a note on that one, didn't you? That's the only way I can, because some stuff is just beyond the pale. And it's embarrassing to the to me. I know God is taking notes. But, you know, to me, it's embarrassing to the body of Christ when we have carrying on and hate and discord and the shenanigans that people have come up underneath the tent of Jesus. Is too much, you know, it's just too much.
Let me be the pastor. Let me be a pastor real quick, and I'm done with this as far as this piece of it. If I was the enemy and I'm fighting you, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember that. And remember in Genesis chapter 3, it talked about that the devil is more susceptible than any creature that God has ever created.
Amen.
That means he's been at it for a long time. If I was your enemy, what is the first thing I'm going to try to do to you? I'm going to try my best to keep you distracted and talking about other things. I'm going to try my best because I'm getting ready to launch an attack against you that the world has never seen before. So what do? I distract you into talking about, and I'm not saying it's not real. It is real. Everything we talk about is real. But remember what we're dealing with. We're not fighting just any enemy.
No.
We're not. We're fighting somebody who's been at it a whole lot longer than we have. And so we have to be careful that any all these little sidebars that we talk about, and I agree with you, hatred in the church, and Malcolm X even talked about the biggest desegregated time in the whole world is during the time we're serving God or worship on Sunday morning. He said, and guess what? It's not going to change. I'll say this, and I'm closing. I'm done. I've done my 3 points, and I've shouted. But the interesting thing about what we deal with, what you do with Sharon, I appreciate you. I appreciate X because it gives an opportunity for these things to be revealed. Because if not, can you imagine all this prosperity ministry, all this stuff that people were teaching? Yeah. That was the main thing. That was the main thing, and folk are flocking to that.
Yeah.
And folk do not want it. I believe right now, Sharon, I believe this with my whole heart, that the enemy has blinded the minds and the ears of so many people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That they're not, because he's distracting us.
Yes.
If they're not hearing the truth, then I'm done. That's all I got to say.
Well, and I appreciate you acknowledging, because when I was in corporate media for 26 years, I couldn't utter this, okay? So I feel, God is good. And because I couldn't speak, freely like I want to. And because that's the constraint of that realm. But anyway, having said that, Reverend Parham and Reverend Hill, you have been more than a blessing today. And I'd like for you to tell the audience how to find you online and all that other for your service. And then please close us. Please close us in our tag team prayer. And I'm going to start with you, Reverend Hill, and then Reverend Parham, you will close it out for us, okay?
Okay. All right. We'll do.
Reverend Hill, tell us what time and how to find you today.
You can find me on Facebook, Edward S. Hill Jr. You'll see my picture on my face there. It's about at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Our worship, morning worship with God, and as well, if you need further assistance, you can go to Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church to see other old sermons and people singing and our community gatherings and all of that, and see exactly who we are, where we are, where God wants us to be.
Amen. And Reverend Parham, what time and where?
Our virtual worship starts at 10:15. You can reach us. You can stream with us at ECC Strong. The word at ECC Strong. That's on Facebook, and you can also do it through Vimeo.com, or you can go to our website at www.emersonchapel.org. Click on live stream, and you can go straight to Vimeo. You can catch us on ECC Strong on Instagram and at Chapel News 4040 on Twitter. We're streaming, and you can watch us there. 10:15 today in a few moments.
Okay, and I'm going to put this up on Sharon Kay's podcast today. I'm not going to wait 2 weeks. I'm going to put this up today because y'all might want to hear yourselves. You might get a blessing hearing yourself. And, Reverend Hill, if you can give us our tag team prayer, lead us off, and then Reverend Parham, you'll close.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, great Heavenly Father, we come to you today lifting up our prayers and petitions. Lord, say thank you. Thank you, God, for allowing us to speak the word of love, embrace them with your power, encourage them that they can be better, and allow them to move forward. They have to stay where they are, especially those that tend to be the least lost and the left out. And God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that you have done for us, and thank you for sharing today and Reverend A. And now, God, in such a good way, allow their voice to be heard. And not ignored. And thank you, God, for allowing us to come alive today to speak on a different level as you see fit.
Father, as we continue in the prayers, we go forth, continue to bless my brother X and my sister Sharon Kate. Thank you for their medium, God, that you have blessed them with. Longevity has its place, and I appreciate their voice in this community. Continue to cover them. Whatever they stand in need of, no lack shall overtake them, even right now. Whatever needs to be healed, heal it. Whatever needs to be delivered, deliver it. Whatever needs to be set it free right now. Bless us and keep all the listeners who are listening, all of those who have shared with us on today, oh, Father, help them to realize that except you build the house, We labor in vain, those of us who deal, so keep us as only thou can. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
That was beautiful, and I certainly feel immensely blessed from having y'all on the broadcast today. I'm going to leave our audience with Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. You all have the very best of the best, and don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.